From the first canto, chapter 3, the Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Nara Devatam Apana.
Nara Devatam Apana.
Sura Karya Chikirshaya.
Sura Karya Chikirshaya.
Samudra Nigrahadina.
Samudra Nigrahadina.
Chakre Vayani Ataparam.
Chakre Vayani Ataparam.
Nara Devatam Apana.
Nara Devatam Apana.
Sura Karya Chikirshaya.
Sura Karya Chikirshaya.
Samudra Nigrahadina. Chakre Vayani Ataparam.
Chakre Vayani Ataparam.
Nara Devatam Apana.
Nara Devatam Apana.
Sura Karya Chikirshaya.
Sura Karya Chikirshaya.
Samudra Nigrahadini.
Samudra Nigrahadini.
Chakre Vayani Ataparam.
Chakre Vayani Ataparam. Nara Devatam Apana. Sura Karya Chikirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Vayani Ataparam. Assume the form of Sura, the demigods. Karya, activities. Chikirshaya, for the purpose of performing. Samudra, the Indian Ocean. Nigraha Adini, controlling, etc. Chakre, did perform. Biryani, superhuman prowess. Ataparam, thereafter.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman prowess by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Translation responsibly. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman prowess by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Rama, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods, or the administrative personalities, to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But being puffed up by the tiny success, in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted to build a staircase directly reaching the heavenly planet so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter the planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Rama, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife, Sita. Of course, Lord Rama came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayers and desires of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the material advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord by which he can make the gigantic planets float and fly in the air, he made the stones even within this earth to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge in the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. Om Jnana Timinandasya Gnanjina Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmay Sri Guruvay Namaha Vansha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinnubhyebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the auspicious appearance day of Lord Ramchandra. Naradeva Tvam, the Divine, the Supreme Person, appearing as a human being. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, there is a verse that says, Vedanti tattva vedas, tattva yajgyanam advayam, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabyate. That the learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So the idea is that the Godhead, the Supreme, the absolute truth, is a multi-leveled affair. There are different degrees and completenesses of manifestations of the Lord. And of course, people these days, you know, they're very fond of the idea that God is energy. God is energy. The whole universe is energy. We are energy. Desire is energy. You know, unlimited potential manifesting itself. This is desire. It's all energy. In one sense, that's true. But then there's higher levels of God realization. That the consciousness of God is all pervasive. The will of God is all pervasive in every atom and in the heart of every living being. And is directing the wanderings of all living beings. That is Paramatma. And even higher than that, Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, the Godhead appearing as a human being with name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So, you know, the living beings who have specific characteristics, mind, intelligence, and senses, they can meditate on the activities, the divine activities of the Absolute Truth. This is the highest manifestation of the Godhead. So, in Bhagavad Gita, we see that Arjuna, you know, he was seeing the universal form. In the 11th chapter, he saw the universal form. He requested, please let me see this form of yours, Krishna. And then Krishna said, yeah, okay, you can see that, and gave him divine eyes, and then manifested his form as the universe. And Arjuna was pretty impressed, and then he became very fearful because it was just too overwhelming, surrounding from all sides. And then after some time of this display, Krishna withdrew that and appeared in his forearm form for Arjuna. And then he appeared back in his two-handed form. And he said, actually, this is the supreme form. This is most beautiful. It's very difficult to behold. Only by devotional service can you behold this beautiful form. And you see, more than the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing as Narayan, full of opulence and Aishwarya, glory, which creates awe and reverence in the mind of the conditioned souls. Even more intimate than that is when the Lord appears as a human being and manifests human symptoms. Very charming. Nothing more charming than that. And as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you know, we have the focus on Braja Krishna, Krishna in Vrindavan. This was Lord Chaitanya's central meditation. But at the same time, the devotees of the Lord, they don't reject the other forms of the Lord. No, they accept the complete understanding of the Godhead in all his different forms and manifestations. And we see that Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya, as they used to meditate on Ram occasionally. Like you see that Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Puri, and the anniversary of Lord Ramchandra or Hanuman sacking Lanka came about, he went into the ecstasy of Hanuman and he scaled the wall with a big tree branch and followed by his followers and started dismantling the wall in the ecstasy of Hanuman. And we see when Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Nityananda, when he was a youngster, he used to play with his friends the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And so absorbed would he become in those pastimes that he was playing, was it Lakshman or Ram? Lakshman. Yeah, and he was shot by Indrajit, the person playing Indrajit, Ravana's son. Imaginary, like, and then imagining himself hit by that arrow, he fell unconscious and could not be revived. And after a while they were, Lord Nityananda, you know, he's pretending to be unconscious. And then they tried to wake him up and he wouldn't come awake. And then they started to become quite worried. And they brought the elders there and the elders were like, oh, this is not very good, you know. you've killed Lord Nityananda with an imaginary arrow. And then they remembered, oh, what's the pastime? That's right. Hanuman has to go and get the herbs from the Himalayas and heal. And then the medics can heal Lakshman. So they played out the rest of the pastime, bought the herbs and crushed them, just all imaginary, and offered them to Lord Nityananda, and he again awoke, crying, Ram, Ram, in great ecstasy. So you see that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they still worship Lord Ramchandra, whose pastimes are glorious. We see Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they had a brother, a younger brother called, what was his name?
Anupam,
yes. And Anupam was a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. And one day, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they sat down, their younger brother, and they said, Anupam, let's look at it all rationally and logically. And they began to analyze. You know, Lord Krishna, he is a higher, more intimate manifestation of. He is the original personality of Godhead. And for these various reasons, he is the superior incarnation. Therefore, you should worship Krishna, especially Braja Krishna. And Anupam said, yes, yes, your arguments are very sound. I cannot find a hole in them, or I cannot find any fault. I will try. And that night, they all took rest. But Anupam was crying all night. And in the morning he came to his brothers and said, you know, very humbly, and said, I have not slept all night. I cannot sleep. Despite your logical arguments, I cannot give up the devotional service of Ram. I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Ram. And then Rupa and Sanatan, they went to Lord Chaitanya and told him about this, and Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He said, glorious is that servant that will not give up his master, and glorious is that master that will not give up his servant. So that is very beautiful, that devotion for Lord Ramchandra. And we see that in the higher realms of devotion, the higher stages, devotees do manifest certain attractions to certain forms of the Godhead. And all these forms, they come together to create the rich tapestry, which is the glory of the Lord. And devotees meditate on that glory. And it becomes very rich meditation. Therefore, the devotees, they can be, they're not just simply trying to withdraw their senses from the world and become inert, but they have a rich tapestry of glories, beautiful activities of the Lord in which to meditate and absorb their mind. The personal form of the Lord, and so many forms. So today in particular we're celebrating the appearance of Lord Ramchandra. So let's have a look, let's go through the pastime just quickly, because it's getting late already. So the preview, the prologue to the pastime was the activities of Ravana, the great demon, who became very powerful. So powerful even that he went to the heavenly planets and he had a fight with his brother, Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. And he just defeated him and he took his chariot, the Pushpaka chariot, which could fly in the sky. It was more like a city, a celestial city that could fly in the sky than a chariot. Very powerful. And it's directed by the will of the owner. Simply you decide, where do I want to go? And it goes there. Very powerful chariot. And anyway, Ravana's flying back from this battle over the Himalayan mountains. And he looks down and there he sees a very beautiful woman meditating with dreadlocks in meditative trance. And being a very lusty demon, he becomes charmed. And he flies down and dismounts and walks up to her and says, O beautiful lady, you have charmed my mind. I am the powerful Ravana. I now take you as my wife. And she just opened her eyes and said, basically, forget it. I am Vedavati. I am meditating on Lord Vishnu, performing tapas, austerity, simply to get Lord Vishnu as my husband. And she said, "Look, forget it. I'm not going to be your mistress." And Ravana became angry, and he reached out and grabbed her by the hair, but immediately she severed her hair. And then by her mystic powers, she burnt herself, she manifested the fire in her body. The body is made up of the elements, and she manifested the fire very powerfully and incinerated her body to ashes. And as she was leaving her body, she said, "I will come again, as the daughter of a pious man. And by that incarnation, you will be destroyed, and your entire race." And then there's just a pile of ashes. And Ravana was like, and he left. And then he went to Lord Shiva's abode, Mount Kailash. And he was saying, "This area is very beautiful. I'm going to enter in." So he landed and he started like roaming around. And he met Nandi, who was a guardian servant of Lord Ramchandra. He was a very interesting looking character. He had a monkey face and this kind of stunted body. And Ravana just said, "Step aside, I'm coming in." And he said, no, you can't come in here. I'm the guardian of this area." And Ramchandra said, Ravana said, "I'm coming in anyway." And he was cursed because he started insulting Nandi, for his monkey face. Monkey face. And then he was cursed by Nandi, saying, "Because you have insulted me, I curse you that your entire race will be destroyed by powerful monkey warriors that will be born in the future." And then Ravana just became angry and immediately plunged his arms into the mountainside of me and tearing the mountain apart, and then he is lifting the mountain up. And Parvati was sitting nearby with Lord Shiva. Yeah. Parvati sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva, she became frightened. "Ooh, what's that?" The whole mountain is shaking. And Lord Shiva said, "Oh, that is Ravana. Don't worry, I'll take care of him." And Parvati said, "Oh, because he has frightened me, I curse him that he will be, because of a woman, he will be destroyed." And then Lord Shiva, he simply with his big toe, he pressed down the hill. And Ravana began crushed under the hill. He was lying there and crushed and he couldn't move. Lord Shiva was just holding it down with his toe. And Ravana's going, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" And then his associates, they said, "Well, Lord Shiva's very easily pleased, so just begin to offer him some prayers." So Ravana's lying under the hill and started offering prayers for a long time and nothing. Lord Shiva was pretty indifferent, just holding the hill down with his toe, Ravana's cross. I think he's very powerful, but Lord Shiva's very easily holding him in check. And then Ravana, after a long time of offering prayers, Lord Shiva goes, "All right, I'm pleased," and lets him go. And Ravana says, "Aha, please give me a boon." And Lord Shiva says, "Okay." He says, "Give me your Pashupati weapon," which is a very powerful weapon. And Lord Shiva says, "Okay." And gives him the weapon. And then Ravana flies off, he's flying along in his Pushpaka chariot. And then he comes over the Ayodhya, the city of Ayodhya. And normally, he's a Rakshasa, he's very powerful. They're more like on the level of demigods than human beings. They're extraordinarily powerful, mystic powers, changing forms and all sorts of things. So normally not interested in human affairs, why waste your time? But he had heard that there was a very powerful king there, Anaranya, the king of Ayodhya. He was living there, and he was perhaps worthy of a decent fight. So Ravana said, "I'm going to give this a go," and he landed outside the city and dismounted and, challenged the king, who became very angry and came out with his big armies, and there was a massive battle. But because the Rakshasas had mystic powers, they could fly in the sky and do all sorts of illusions and mystic powers and disappear and reappear and go invisible. Eventually they overwhelmed the forces of the king and they destroyed everyone. And only the king was left. And he had a fight with Ravana. And Ravana then struck a fatal blow to Anaranya. And as Anaranya was dying... Ravana began to belittle him, you know, saying, "Haha, you've been defeated by me. I am so powerful. You are so foolish to think you can stand up to me." And Aranya said, he was very angry. He said, "You are deriding this dynasty, huh, that you have conquered momentarily. But I curse you that in the future, a king born of this dynasty, he will destroy you and your entire race." And then he died. And Ravana was like, "Oh, oh well." And then he went up, you know, and decided, "Oh, I'm going to go to the heavenly planets." You know, so he went up to the heavenly planets and he was roaming around, you know, kind of drunk. And then he saw a beautiful woman, you know. He was like, became lusty. He went up to her and said, "I am the powerful Ravana. This is Rumba, the wife of Nalukuvara." And we know Nalukuvara was cursed by Narada Muni and became a tree in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and then was later liberated by Damodar Krishna, who pulled the grinding mortar between the two trees. Anyway, so Nalukuvara is back in the heavenly planet. Oh, this is actually prior. This is actually before that happened, before he was cursed. And Ravana is lusting after his wife, and she's like, "Oh, no, thank you. But I'm wedded wife of somebody else." But Ravana just came up and "I will have you because I want you and I am powerful," and proceeded to rape her, ravish her, threw her against a rock and took her. And all the demigods were like pretty afraid to approach because they knew how powerful Ravana was. Ravana actually had a benediction from Lord Brahma, a boon, that he could not be destroyed by any demigod. Huh? So they were all fearful of him. He had 10 heads, 10-headed demon. Anyway, he raped Rumba. And then Nalukuvara, he was very furious when he found out about this, and he cursed. He also cursed Ravana. That, he said, "This Rakshasa has violated a celestial lady. If he ever rapes another girl, he will immediately die." Ravana was like, "Okay." So puffed up he was. And then Ravana, you know, he was wandering around, and Narada came and saw him. And normally, you know, Ravana was accustomed to eating sages. You know, just eat sages and destroy them, tear them apart. Not concerned for their curses or anything like that. But Narada he had some respect for, because Narada was very powerful. Narada had even given him good advice in the past. So he said, "Oh, Narada," and offered his respects. And Narada came and sat down and said, "You're so powerful, Ravana. You've conquered so many places and so many kings and so many demigods. You know what you should do next? You should go to the abode of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, and conquer him. And once you've destroyed the Lord of Death, there'll be no death for you. And such will that act be that it will destroy the cosmic order. Because if there's no Lord of Death, things are just going to be turned upside down in the material world, you know. Because who's going to claim all the mortal souls and give them their retribution for their activities?" So Ravana said, "That is a good idea." So he immediately mounted his chariot and went to Yamaloka, where Yamaraj was, and then he flew into the Yamaloka and he saw the Yamadutas giving everybody their punishments and chasing people around and stuff. And he jumped out of his, on his chariot, you know, he was shooting all his arrows and beginning to cause carnage and havoc there. And he did that for some time, and then Yamaraj heard about it and he came out, you know, in his chariot. And there was a fight. And Yamaraj, very, very powerful. He cannot, Narada Muni knew this, that Ravana can never destroy Yamaraj. So Yamaraj gradually overpowered him, and he was about to destroy him with his mace. And then Lord Brahma appeared and said, "Actually, Yamaraj, you cannot kill him because he has a benediction from me. He is a rascal for sure. There's no doubt about that. But you should not worry, because very soon Lord Vishnu is going to appear as a human being, and in that form he will kill Ravana. Because Ravana cannot be killed by a demigod." So Yamaraj, you know, out of deference for Lord Brahma, did okay and then disappeared. And immediately all his Yamadutas came back alive, and Ravana thought, aha, now I have defeated the Lord of Death. And feeling very happy with himself, he flew off back to the earth planet, back to Lanka, which was his kingdom. So this is all the prologue. But then on earth, at that time, what was also happening? Dasarath, a great king in Ayodhya, he was having a great lamentation. He was thinking, I have no children, although I have three wives. I have no children. Who will continue the dynasty? Because one surely needs a son, so he can hand over the reign of the kingdom to him, and the dynasty can be carried on. I have no son. So he was consulting with the sages about this problem, this lamentation, this worry of his. And the sages said, not to worry. Simply, you need to perform an Ashwamedha sacrifice. And then you will surely get a son, a qualified son. So, feeling happy, Dasarath proceeded to perform the Ashwamedha sacrifice, sent the challenge horse all around the world, and the horse came back, and then they began the proceedings. And the sacrifice happened, and the smoke of the offering went up to heaven, and the demigods accepted that very happily. And at that time, it had already been decided, because Brahma had approached Lord Vishnu about the problematic Ravana, who'd even tried to build a staircase to heaven, as we read in Prabhupada's purport. You know, he was thinking, why should we have to perform pious activities and accumulate good karma and then go to the heavenly planets? Why not just build a staircase there? Simply by technology, we can do that. The demigods were just, this guy's too much, you know. Because managers, you know, they'll tolerate problematic personalities, problematic behavior, up to a point. But then when it gets too much, you've got to do something. You've got to either, censure them, you know, tell them off. If they don't pay attention there, or if they're too powerful for that, you either have to remove them from their position, or you have to punish them. So this attitude is Ravana is such a disturbance, we have to do something about him. So then they petitioned Vishnu and said, yes, I will do it. And he said, and Vishnu had said to the demigods, he said, but you guys, you need to appear first. You appear as powerful monkey soldiers. Take birth as powerful monkey warriors on earth. So Dasarath's sacrifice was completed, and then out of the fire came an effulgent personality saying, I am a messenger of Vishnu, and he had a pot of nectar, and he said, take this nectar and feed it to your wives, and very soon they will conceive. So Dasarath was very happy. He took the nectar, he fed it to his three wives. He gave one portion to Kaushalya, one portion to Kaikeyi, and two portions to his final wife, who was
Sumitra.
That's right. And very soon, these wives, they conceived, and born of Kaushalya was Lord Ramachandra, the firstborn. Very beautiful personality. Exquisite. And the abode of virtue. Virtue is very important, you know. The goodness. The goodness, the desire to be morally upright. This is very important. This is not transcendence in itself, but it's very important as the foundation. We should try and be upright, moral, and virtuous. These qualities will attract people of the world to the devotees if the devotees are virtuous. So Ram was the abode of virtue. And he became dear to everyone. Second born was Bharat, born from Kaikeyi. And he was very, very attached to Ram. Just like all the brothers were, actually. He was also powerful and beautiful and upright, righteous. And then born from Sumitra were the final two sons, and they were Lakshman and Shatrughna. And they were also very wonderful. Lakshman particularly was attached to Ram. He was so dedicated to Ram. Everywhere Ram would go, Lakshman would come as his servant. And the other two brothers, they were attached to one another also. So this was a very happy situation. The residents of Ayodhya were very happy. Ramachandra will be our future king. How wonderful this is. And Dasarath, he was greatly happy to have four wonderful sons, especially Lord Ramachandra, who was the personality of Godhead. And although he was the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, Kaushalya, she just thought, this is my beautiful son. Just like Mother Yashoda thought, Krishna is simply my beautiful son that I love and must protect, actually. Such was the yogamaya potency of the Lord. Anyway, one day, as the boys were growing up, Vishwamitra, the great sage, Vishwamitra Muni, came along and he said to Dasarath, I stand before you, consecrated for a sacrifice. You know, I'm purified and ready to do a sacrifice. And we've been trying to do this sacrifice for quite some time in a distant forest. But every time we try and do the sacrifice, two demons, rakshasas, they come along. Maricha and Subahu. They come along, two rakshasas. They keep, you know, they're followers of Ravana. Oh, Ravana, very powerful. They come and they desecrate the sacrifice. What do? They fly over and they shower stool and vomit and spit on it and just make a huge mess, and then we have to start again, purify the area, set up. And every time we do this, they come along and they desecrate the arena of sacrifice. Which means to say, I am a powerful Brahman. I could simply curse them and destroy them. But I do not want to make myself impure by becoming angry. Therefore, please give me your son, Lord Ramchandra, so I can take him with me and he can kill these two demons. And Dasarath was very perturbed. He said, no. My beautiful son, he is barely 16 years old. He will be eaten alive by these rakshasas. You cannot take Ram. Anybody. I'll come myself with my entire armies and destroy, but please do not take Ram. And Vishwamitra became angry. He said, you have promised me a boon. Because this is what kings generally, when the sages would come, they'd say, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? Then Vishwamitra said, give me your son. And then Dasarath refused, and he became angry, and Vishwamitra became angry and said, you have promised me a boon, but you have not carried it through. This is a disgrace to your line. And you don't know even how powerful your son is. Your son is so powerful, beyond your estimation. He will have no trouble destroying these rakshasas. Therefore, you must give him to me. And Dasarath, you know, he capitulated and said, okay, if you must, take Ram. But you must take Lakshman as well. Because Lakshman is always with Ram, and he can protect him. So they, much to the distress and dismay of the residents of Ayodhya, Vishwamitra took Ramchandra to the forest. And they travelled for quite some time, because it was a long way. And Vishwamitra educated them on the way and told them many stories and educated them in the Vedas. And eventually the time came and they were performing the sacrifice, and the two demons, the two rakshasas, they appeared and they were slain by Lakshman and Hanuman. No, sorry. Ram and Lakshman. They slew the demons. And they returned to Ayodhya, and Vishwamitra was very happy. And Dasarath was extremely happy to have them back. And after some time, it reached a point where Dasarath was thinking, I must marry my sons, especially Ramchandra. I must marry him. And then he heard of a beautiful maiden, King Janak, nearby kingdom. He had a daughter, Sita Devi, who, when ploughing the field to perform a sacrifice, he ploughed the field with a golden plough. in preparation. And as the land was turned over, there appeared a beautiful daughter of the earth, a divine child, maiden. And Janaka adopted her, Sita. Very beautiful, the abode of virtue, divinely beautiful. And Lord Ramchandra thought, this adopted daughter of mine is so qualified and so wonderful. Who is qualified to be her husband? Therefore, I make an arrangement that the only, in order to marry this daughter of mine, the person, the king or the prince, must be able to string the bow of Lord Shiva and fire an arrow, I believe, from the bow. So he made this arrangement. Lord Shiva's bow, you know, it's like big. Lord Shiva's big, and this bow is so powerful and strong. And many princes came forward to try and string the bow, and they couldn't even lift the bow. And they all went away humiliated. And then Lord Ramchandra, he came to the contest. And he simply picked up the bow, very easily in one hand, strung it without effort, and pulled the bow and then snapped it in half like a thunderclap. Broke the bow. And Sita, she was already charmed by Ram just by seeing him. Because she is Vedavati. She said, I will appear as a divine maiden and the daughter of a pious man. And I will, by my birth, you will be destroyed. So this was Lakshmi, or the eternal consort of Vishnu, or Ramchandra's Sita. So they became united, and the marriage took place. And the citizens of Ayodhya, they were very, very happy. Anyway, after some time, Dasarath, he was meditating. Now, soon I must give up my kingdom to my qualified son. Therefore, I desire actually to install Ramchandra as the prince regent of the kingdom. And he put this to his advisors, and he put this to the citizens, and everybody was like, Jai. How wonderful this is. Ramchandra will soon be our king. So this, the date was scheduled for this event. But on the night before the date, Kaikeyi was sitting in her chambers. She was the mother of Bharat. She was quite happy with the whole arrangement. But then a poisonous maidservant came into the chambers and began to whisper in her ear. This was Mantara. She began to whisper in the ear of Kaikeyi, saying, you know, when Ramchandra is installed as king, you'll become insignificant. You'll become sidelined. And same with your son, you'll become sidelined. This will be a very miserable occurrence. Therefore you should make some arrangement by where your son can be installed on the throne instead of Lord Ramchandra. And originally she was like, no, what are you talking about? Mantara. But eventually, slowly, as this whispering went on, she became poisoned. And she thought, she became envious. Yes, my son should be on the throne. So, Dasarath, you know, he came by and he heard that your wife, Kaikeyi, she is lying on the floor crying, disheveled, miserable. And Dasarath said, oh, being a good husband. And he went into the chamber and he saw, yes, she was lying on the floor wailing. And he went up to her and he picked her up and wiped the tears from her face and he said, my dear wife, what is the problem here? You should be happy. For tomorrow, Lord Ramchandra, our beautiful son of our family, is going to be installed as prince regent. But she said, no, I am not happy at all with this arrangement. And then she said, do you remember, in the past, you gave me boons because I took care of you very nicely after you were wounded in battle. And you were so pleased with me that you gave me some boons. And at the time I had said, I will not take those boons now, but in the future I will call upon them. And he said, yes, my dear, certainly. What is it? And he said, I would like to claim those boons now. He said, yes. Yes, no problem. And then she said, I want for my boons, firstly, that Lord Ramchandra should be exiled to the forest for 14 years. And secondly, my son, Bharat, he should be installed as Prince Regent. And Dasaratha was like, what? He said, yes, you heard me. This is what I want. And he just broke down and said, no, this can't be true. What are you talking about? This is crazy. He said, no, this is what I want. What are you? Are you a weak man? You're going to go back on your promise? Huh? You cannot do that. That would be disgraceful. You cannot do that. And he just became totally bewildered. What can I do? He became broke down on the floor crying. And later, Ramchandra, he came and saw, oh, my father, you're so upset. He said, what is the problem, father? Father could not speak. And Lord Ramchandra, he pressed. And then Dasaratha revealed, Kaikeyi is called upon two boons she gained in the past from me. And she said that you must be exiled to the forest and Bharat installed in your place. How can this be? And Ramchandra said, that's no problem. I'll go to the forest. Certainly you must fulfill your boons that you gave to her. Certainly you must do that. It's for your honor, father. And I don't mind, I'll go to the forest, no problem. Bharat should be the king. He's very qualified. Everybody was amazed. Ramchandra, completely free of envy, complete in virtue, simply surrendering to keep the honor of his father. Simply surrendering. But the citizens of Ayodhya, they were devastated. No, Ram cannot leave us. Because they were so in love with Ram. And so angry with Kaikeyi. But anyway, Ram said, no, I'm going. Tomorrow I will leave. And he took off his royal clothes and he put on, you know, the clothes of an ascetic. And fed to leave. And Lakshman came to Ram and said, what is this nonsense? I immediately, you know, This is complete nonsense. He said, no, we must serve our father. We must serve our father. Therefore, I'm going to the forest. And Lakshman says, well, then I'm coming too. I cannot leave you for a moment. I'm coming too with you. And Ram said, okay. That is okay. And then Sita Devi, the beautiful wife of Ramchandra, so devoted, Lakshmi, she came and she said, I've heard the news. This is terrible. Is it really true? Ram, and then she saw Ram in his, you know, in his mendicant's dress, you know, simply wearing a loincloth. And Ram said, "Yes, it is true. I'm sorry, my dear. I have to go. But in 14 years, I will return. You stay here and, you know, live a comfortable life." And Sita said, "No, I cannot. I cannot do that." He said, I will come with you too. And Ram said, no, you're a princess. You know, you're not made for life in the forest, a harsh life in the forest. You must stay here. And she said, no, my husband, I am simply devoted to you. You are my life and soul. Therefore, I'm coming with you. There's no question. And then Ramchandra said, okay. So the three of them, Rama, Lakshman, and Sita Devi, prepared to leave to the forest. This could go on for a while. But so the next day they began to leave and all the citizens of Ayodhya followed them into the forest. Said, no, you cannot go. This can't be true. They're just in denial. And the procession left and they kept following and eventually Ram had to stop and turn around and say, look, I'm very touched, but please, you cannot follow us to the forest. You go back to the city and support Bharat, my brother, in his rule. So eventually, with much effort, Ramchandra sent them back. And some of them even stayed with Ramchandra. So what he did is, in the middle of the night, he left. You know, the three of them left. They got up in the middle of the night and they took a boat down the riverbed so they could not down the river. And nobody could find their footprints, so they just disappeared into the forest. And the citizens went back. And they found that Dasarath, King Dasarath, the father of Ram, he was simply lying on the floor crying, could not be consoled by his wives. He was so angry at his wife, Kaikeyi, for making this happen. And he banished her, said, "You are not my wife." And he just cried and cried and cried. And eventually, Dasarath gave up his life out of separation. And there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth. Everybody was miserable. And then Bharat, who had actually been away at the time, he had been away fighting a war in another kingdom. He came back. And he entered in and he said, "Everybody is miserable. What has happened here? Everybody is miserable in the kingdom. What has happened?" And then he found out, what is the news? Rama has been exiled. You will be king instead, Prince Regent. And father has died. And he just broke down. He said, "How can this happen? This can't be true." And then he went to his mother, Kaikeyi, and he said, "Mother, what have you done? What is this nonsense you have done?" And he said, "You're not my mother. How can you do such a thing?" And in great fury, he banished his mother. He said, "No, I'm not your son. This is unbelievable what you have done." And then Bharat said, you know, declared to the people, "I will go back into the, I will go to the forest, I will pursue Ram, and I will bring him back." So he left, you know, with an entourage of soldiers, and he went into the forest. And eventually they found where Ram was. And Ram said, "Bharat, why have you come here, you know? And why are you so sad?" And Bharat said, "Our father has died out of separation from you. And what is it that you're doing? Rama, you must be the king of Ayodhya. I cannot rule in your place." So devoted were the brothers to Ramchandra. Ramchandra said, no, we must maintain the honor of our father. We must do this. This is destiny. And we must surrender to destiny and do the virtuous thing." And Bharat could not convince Ram to come back. And then Bharat said, "Okay." Ramachandra said, "You rule in my place, and in 14 years I'll come back." And Bharat said, "Okay, if it is your wish, that I will do, but I will not sit on the throne." And he says, "Please step out of the," you know, he gave him some wooden slippers, and Ramachandra put them on and then took them off. And Bharat took them and put them on his head and says, "I will simply put these slippers on the throne, and they will represent you. And I will live outside the city, in the dress of a mendicant. And I will only eat barley cooked in the urine of a cow. That will be my only sustenance. And thus I will rule the kingdom like this. Just waiting for you to return." Very touching. And Bharat, and then they left. And Ramchandra proceeded deeper into the forest for the exile. And this went on. Anyway, they were living in the forest. They became quite happy. They found a nice holy place to stay. And they were living for some years, and Sita eventually, you know, got used to the forest a little bit and even began to like the beauty of the forest. She'd collect flowers and so forth and serve her husband very nicely. And they built a simple hut, and Lakshman was there. And the time passed quite happily for some time. And then what happened? One day, one of the sisters of Ravana, she came along. She was a Rakshasa, and in the distance she spied Lord Ram, and she became charmed. "So beautiful is that human. I desire that he be my husband." So she assumed the form of a beautiful woman and approached and said, "Ram, no, beautiful man, please, I am charmed by your beauty. Now you must become my husband." And Ram laughed and said, "No, I cannot become your husband. I have taken a vow that I only accept one wife, Sita Devi. Here she is." He said, "But Lakshman, he will become your wife." Lakshman laughed, you know. And then she became very angry, and she assumed a hideous form as a Rakshasi, and became angry and proceeded as if she was going to attack Sita, you know, out of jealousy. And then Ramchandra fired an arrow, threw a knife or something, and chopped off her nose. And blood's been spurting everywhere. And she fled in great anger. And she returned back to Ravana and Lanka. And she appeared before Ravana with her blood pouring from her face. And Ravana was, "Who has done this to you, my dear sister?" And Ravana said, She said, "Ah, Rama's done this to me. Rama's done this to me. Rama became very angry. He said, I will punish him. Who is this mortal? You know, he became furious. And then he said, and his sister said one other thing. Oh, and Ravana, I know you are very fond of beautiful women. There is this woman whose beauty is beyond compare, the wife of Lord Ramchandra. Ah, you will certainly find her tasteful and enjoyable to you. Ravana became, oh, really? You're very interested in these topics, you know. So he became fascinated by the idea. So he said, I will go there and check this out for myself. So Ravana flew on his chariot, the Pushpaka, and landed nearby the ashram of Ram, came out, and from a distance he spied Sita and became charmed. He said, yes, this woman is suitable for my enjoyment. I better make some plan. So he got one of his servants and said, my servant, you become a golden deer and run through the forest and capture the mind of Sita. And then Sita will ask Lord Ramchandra, he said, he will ask him to chase the deer and please capture that deer for me. And then Ram and Lakshman will follow the deer, and then Sita will be left alone and I will go and capture her. And I said, okay, very good. So the servant, he assumed the form of a golden deer and walked up to the ashram of Sita and Ram and Lakshman, and Sita became immediately fascinated. Wow, just Ram, look at the deer, it's so beautiful, so fascinating. And then the deer bounded off into the forest, and Sita was like, Ram, please get this deer for me. And Ram was like, okay, I can do that for you. He said, Lakshman, please stay here and protect. Ram was a little bit suspicious. Please stay here and protect Sita, and for no reason leave her. And then Ram proceeded through the forest, and as he began chasing, he saw the deer was bounding through the forest and teleporting here and there. He said, there's something very strange about this, something mystic about this. And he became very suspicious. So he pulled out an arrow and he fired, and the deer fell down, and then it assumed its original form as a Rakshasa, was its servant of Lord Ravana, a demon. And began laughing, ha ha, you have been slain by me, but you do not know what has happened. Well, this is part of a greater plan. And then, assuming the voice of Ram, the demon cried out, Lakshman, help! Lakshman, help! And then died. And then Lakshman heard this cry of Ram, apparently like Ram, from a distance, and he thought, oh, what is going on here? And then he thought, no, Ram cannot be put into any danger, he's so powerful. But Sita, she became scared. She said, Lakshman, Ram is in trouble, go quickly, find him, help him. And Lakshman said, no, I cannot leave you. Ram said, I should not leave you under any circumstance, and I shall not. And then Sita said, Lakshman, you must help. And then she said, in desperation, she thought, I must get Lakshman to go and help. And she said, Lakshman, I am the wife of Ram. It is simply because you want to enjoy me for yourself that you will not leave and help Ram. You're thinking Ram will be killed in the forest and then you'll be able to enjoy me. And this cut Lakshman so deeply. He said, no, I have never looked even at your face. I've only simply looked at your feet. I don't know what your face looks like. You're the husband of my elder brother who I adore and am devoted to. And she said, no, you want to enjoy me and you want Ram to die in the forest. And Lakshman, he just couldn't take this. He said, okay, I will go. But, firstly, he put some rice out of a bag. He made a circle around Sita and said, do not step out. And then he charmed the circle and said, this is a force field, this will protect you. Do not step outside the circle. And if you do not, you'll be fine. And then he proceeded, ran into the forest. And eventually, Ram was running back through the forest. And Lakshman met Ram. And Ram said, Lakshman, what have you done? You have left Sita. And he said, yes, Sita heard you call out and she became perturbed and sent me here. And Ram said, what have you done? There's something very strange going on here. And anyway, they ran back to Sita, towards Sita. But in the meantime, Ravana had appeared. He assumed the form of the sannyasi. And he walked up to the ashram of Ram and Sita and Lakshman. And only Sita was there. And he assumed the form of sannyasi and he walked up, and Sita saw the sannyasi approaching, and out of death, she paid her obeisances and said, "Oh great sage, how can I serve you?" And the great sage said, "I'm hungry, please give me some food." And Sita said, "Okay." She went into the hut. This is all inside the force field. Ravana is standing outside the force field in the guise of a sannyasi, and she went in, she got some items, and she went out, but she didn't know what, she couldn't step beyond the force field. Ravana said, "Come on, you must serve me. Huh? I'm a sannyasi. You must serve me. It's your duty." And she said, "No, I cannot step out of the force field." He said, "What are you? This is a breach of virtue. You must." And eventually Sita said, "Okay." And she stepped outside the circle to give the offering to the sannyasi. And then immediately Ravana assumed his real form and grabbed her and said, "Ah, now I've got you." Grabbed Sita, pulled her on a chariot. He said, "Now you'll be mine and I will enjoy you." Pulled her on his chariot and took off into the sky. And then Jatayu, who was a bird, a great servant of ancient bird, great servant of Lord Ramchandra from ages past, she saw Ravana flying through the sky away. And he thought, "Oh no, Sita has been kidnapped by Ravana. And he went and attacked Ravana. And there was a battle, but Ravana was so powerful, he eventually sliced the wing of Jatayu, and Jatayu fell down, lay dying, and Ravana flew off. And Ram came back to the ashram and saw Sita was gone. "Lakshman, how could you leave her?" And then thereby they saw Jatayu, and Jatayu was crying and said, "Yes, Ravana has taken Sita." And Ram just broke down and said, "Oh, this is too much." After a while they got themselves together and they proceeded, "We must follow." You know, Jatayu died, they performed the funeral ceremony for Jatayu. And then they proceeded to follow in the direction that Jatayu had indicated that Ravana had gone. So they followed for some time, and eventually what they did, they came in contact with Sugriv and his monkey kingdom, you know, monkey men. They came in contact. First they met Hanuman, and Hanuman brought them to Sugriv, and Ram explained his plight, and Sugriva and Ram, they made a pact, "We will help each other." But Sugriva also had a problem. He said, "My brother Bali, he has persecuted, he's banished me from our kingdom, and he has stolen my wife, and he's so powerful I cannot defeat him. So Ram, can you help me in this?" And Ram said, "Yes, I can help my friend." And he helped win back the kingdom from Bali, the monkey kingdom. And you know, Sugriva was enjoying his victory for some time, but then Ram said, "No, but you must help me. My wife has been kidnapped." And they said, "Oh, actually, no. I saw Ravana flying across some time ago, flying across in his chariot with a screaming lady, and that must be your wife, Sita." And she dropped a bag of jewels down out of the chariot, and one of my monkey men, they found it in the forest and brought it to me. And Ram said, "Oh, really? You have those jewels?" And Sugriva said, "Yes." And brought the jewels and said, "Yes, this is Sita." So he said, "Now we must find her." So Sugriva, he organized his monkey soldiers into four parties, and they went to search in the four directions. "We must find Sita." And Hanuman's party, Hanuman was one of the subjects of Sugriva, they went to the south. And they searched and searched and searched. And eventually they came to the very south coast of India. And they said, "Nowhere is Sita to be found. Ah, how unfortunate." But then they met one flightless, wingless bird. And the wingless bird said, "Actually, Ravana has kidnapped Sita, and his palace is in Lanka. I've been waiting for many thousands of years simply to do this service for Lord Ramchandra." And having seen that, he again grew wings, because he'd been cursed. He again grew wings and flew off. And Hanuman was very happy. He said, "Ah, Lanka, we've found Sita. I must now go there and just make sure that Sita's really there." And that time, Jambavan appeared and talked about the glories of Hanuman. Actually, Hanuman is very powerful. He's just the son of the wind god. He's a monkey man, but he's the son of the wind god. Very powerful. He has all these mystic powers. He's an extraordinary person. And Hanuman then assumed a giant form, just expanded his form up to a giant form, and then leapt across the ocean to Lanka. It's very famous. Leapt across the ocean. And when he arrived at Lanka, he shrunk down very small, and he began to go through the palace in the city of Lanka, looking for Sita. And he saw all the consorts of Ravana and all his activities and so forth. And eventually he came to one garden, and he saw Sita sitting beneath a tree, forlorn. Ravana many times had tried to approach Sita and try and get it to enjoy, but Ravana knew, I have a curse by Nalakuvara. If I try and enjoy this woman against her will, I will die. So in this way, he was trying to charm Sita. But Sita was just like, forget it, you know. I am simply devoted to my husband. And soon he will come and destroy you. And Ravana became very angry. And he left. And then Hanuman was hiding in a tree in a small form above Sita. And then he said, now's my opportunity. And he came down and landed before Sita and assumed a normal sized form and said, and Sita became immediately afraid and said, no, do not be afraid. I am a servant of Lord Ramchandra. Here I can prove it. And he gave Rama's ring to Sita. He said, yes, I am a servant. Soon Rama will come and save you. And Sita was very happy. And then Hanuman left and went back. Oh no, actually, then he got captured. He got captured by the followers of Ravana, who captured him, grabbed him, and took him tied him up, and took him before Ravana. And Ravana was very angry. How did you get in here? And who are you? And I will destroy you, and you rascal, and this and that. And then he said, set his tail on fire! And proceeded to set Hanuman's tail on fire. And Hanuman said, enough of this, and just broke his bonds and began running right throughout Lanka and set the whole city on fire with his burning tail, and then leapt across back to the mainland and went to find Ram again. To cut a long story short, then Ram joined with his forces. They heard news of where Sita was. They went to the ocean and thought, how are we going to get across the ocean with all our armies? And then after some time, Ram confronted the ocean and said, I am, he revealed his true position to the ocean and said, you must assist us in getting across the Lanka. And the ocean was like, oh, this is my lord. And he said, okay, you can throw rocks on the water of the ocean and they'll float, and then you'll be able to make a bridge. And it's a very famous scene, the monkey warriors all grabbing mountain peaks and big boulders and throwing them into the ocean, create a bridge across the Lanka. Floating bridge, as Prabhupada says here, this is the potency of the Lord to make a bridge floating in the ocean with no supporting pillar. And actually, now there's satellite photos from above, and you can actually see there's a high ridge underwater, but a high ridge from the mainland to Sri Lanka. You can actually see satellite, a distinct line where the boulders, after Ramachandra used the bridge, they sunk down to the bottom. This is the idea. It's very interesting. So they went across, and then there was a big titanic battle with the Rakshasas and the monkey warriors. The monkey warriors were simply using trees and big boulders in the fight, and the Rakshasas had all these sophisticated weapons and mystic powers. But because of the curse of Nandi, and because actually all these monkey soldiers were the demigods appearing, eventually they began to destroy the Rakshasa hordes. And after some time, Ravana became, very angry, and he said to his son Indrajit, now you go and destroy them. And Indrajit said, yes, father, and went out with his flying, and he also had a flying chariot, and he shot some poison arrows and hit both Ram and Lakshman with the poison arrows, and then at the end of the day's battle, they were lying, dying. And the medics came along and said, what are we going to do? Ram is dying. Lakshman is dying. And then somebody said, actually there are some herbs that can cure them. They are in the Himalayas, near Mount Kailash. If we can get those herbs, then we can cure them. And Hanuman said, I can do it. And he immediately assumed a giant form, leapt into the sky, and flew to the Himalayas. And he was searching around for the herbs, you know. Where are they? Where are the herbs? And he said, enough of this. It's taking too long. And just rammed his arms into the mountain, ripped the mountain peak up, flew back to Lanka with the entire mountain peak, plonked it down. And the medics ran onto the mountain, got all the herbs, and came down and healed Ram and Lakshman. And then there was a big battle, and Indrajit was eventually destroyed. And finally, Kumbhakarna had to come out. Kumbhakarna was Ravana's brother. He was giant. He used to sleep for 6 months of the year, was it? Yeah, 6 months of the year, he just sleep. He was cursed, actually. Very powerful, but he got a curse, and he had to sleep practically constantly. And he was... so they had to wake him up. They wake up with drums and bugles and stuff, be surrounding Kumbhakarna, giant, a person's like this big compared to him. Anyway, eventually Kumbhakarna woke up, rolled over. What is it? They said, you must go into battle. So Kumbhakarna went into battle, and this big fight between Kumbhakarna and Hanuman. Actually, Hanuman assumed a giant form. They had a big fight, and eventually Kumbhakarna was slain actually by Ram. And then finally Ravana came out. Anyway, enough of this. I'm going to destroy these mortals. He came out and he was fighting. It's a big titanic battle. Ravana destroyed many soldiers. And eventually he assumed his ten-headed form and he was massacring everybody in this big fight. And there was a duel between Ram and Ravana. And eventually Ram was able, he pulled one arrow, shot, shattered the heart of Ravana, and Ravana died. Jai Sri Ram. That happened, and then Sita was regained, and they went back to Ayodhya. Everybody was happy, and Bharat gave the kingdom over to Ram. It's very wonderful. And as Prabhupada says, even these days, the people of India, they still hanker for that Raja Ram, that political party, Lord Ramchandra. Because so wonderful is that reign for 11,000 years that nobody had any problems or any sufferings. The most virtuous king, the personality of Godhead appearing in the form of a human being, the abode of virtue, ruling the people. So there's many other little side things we can talk about here, but it's getting late. So thank you very much. Sitaram ki. Yeah.